2017 Pro Bowl vote is here. It's time to vote for the NFL's best players to earn their spot at Pro Bowl, where the best meets the next. Help your favorite player earn a coveted spot on the Pro Bowl roster. Vote today at NFL.com/Pro Bowl vote.
Going to the hurry up offense.
Hi and hello, football fans. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek football program, presented as always by McDonald's. All day breakfast now with an expanded menu. Go get you some, put it in your belly, and thank me after you do. Yes. A gangbusters and full Studio 66 awaits us as we – or not awaits us. It's here right now as we await the start of Week 7 here. We're going to go through all those games for you. Matt Harmon, Cynthia Freeland, Patrick Claibon. It's been too long. We'll say proper hellos in a minute here. Let's jump into the hurry up, though. And Claibon, I'll start with you. Who would you rather be less this weekend, Brock Osweiler, who is going back to Denver, or Sam Bradford, who's going to Philadelphia?
In this particular revenge game set, I would not want to be Brock Osweiler at all.
Yeah, the Broncos seem to have it in for him.
Yeah, no, and he's not as good.
Freeland, how say you?
I totally agree.
Harmon?
Yeah, I don't want to be Brock.
Here's the only reason that I'll make a case for Bradford. It's because I once went to when the Steelers and Broncos played in the AFC title game in January of '06. I jumped on a flight and I went to Denver for the game, and I had a Steeler cap on to support my team. And I was struck by the fact that not once or twice, I mean a dozen times at least in the hours leading up to the game, Broncos fans would just randomly shake my hand and say, "Hey, may the best team win today. Hey, hope you enjoy yourself out here." What? That's how Denver fans behave themselves? Since then, ironically, though, Broncos fans are very nasty on social media, at least where Dameshek's concerned. But Philadelphia fans have their reputation. I don't think I'd want to be Sam Bradford going into Philadelphia. He is going to be rained down with booze, right?
That's a solid point.
I mean, I think they're pretty happy now with Wentz, so they're kind of like, meh.
Maybe that's a good point. Yeah, if it hadn't been
better
for
off
you,
without we you. Would,
right?
We,
yeah.
And I think one
Touché,
of them,
Freeland, yeah.
One quarterback has something kind of to hide, which he's been hiding for a while. It's like, maybe he's not that good.
Oh, Brock Osweiler?
And Sam has wanted to show everybody how good he can be. Mm-hmm. And so this is the perfect chance to be like, this is how good I am. And everybody pretended that this wasn't the situation.
Also, forget not, we've got a double revenge narrative going on in the Denver-Houston game, because Gary Kubiak also getting revenge on the Texans, who fired him and for not being able to win with Matt Schaub, Case Keenum.
Extra revenge.
Here's another
even worse.
Here's another little angle
layers
for you. Brock Osweiler, if you were watching the game on Sunday night, had he not, 45 minutes before they win that one in overtime, I think in real time, I'm guessing Bill O'Brien is standing on the sideline saying, "Well, I can't throw this kid out there in Denver next weekend. I mean, he'll get eaten alive playing like this." Well, I'm going to go with Savage.
I love Tom Savage. I actually really like Tom Savage. I would love to see Tom
You were one of those
why?
People a couple of years ago, eh?
No, this year. I think that he would actually get DeAndre Hopkins the ball. And I love DeAndre Hopkins.
Well, doesn't he have to get by Brandon Whedon? Either way, yeah.
What did you just say again?
It sounded like womp womp.
I'd be interested to see, and I think, like I say, O'Brien probably had to be thinking about that. Then Osweiler pulls off the big comeback. People are now saying maybe season-defining change for the Texans. We'll see if the Broncos have something in store for him this weekend. Next up, thanks to our guys, Ike Taylor and Maurice Jones-Drew, I fell ill early in the morning on Tuesday morning. I was making my way to the podcast. I got as far as the front lawn, and then, like Lawrence Timmons did on the field in Miami, Dameshek doubled over, and the rest went downhill, except
beautiful
for my ears, and I hope for yours. Ike and Maurice filled in. One of the questions they addressed is, who's the second-best team in the AFC? They said the Bills. Take a listen.
Tyrod Taylor, man, he's starting to use Tyrod like how Mike Shula was using Cam last year.
Right.
So you know what? Since I like my two dual threats in the backfield, since I have my two dual threats in the backfield, I'm going to run the option sometimes.
Right.
Either Tyrod is going to keep the ball or I'm going to pitch it to Shady. So y'all got to make your mind up defense what you want to do.
It doesn't hurt to have a running quarterback as a running back. That's one thing that I think people fail to realize. You talk about Vince Young with Chris Johnson.
Right.
You talk about Jonathan Stewart with Cam Newton. Because when you have a running quarterback, you know this as a defense, you always have to account for that guy taking off.
And usually you can account for him or you don't account for him because you usually don't look at quarterbacks as a threat.
So they go with the Bills. A little surprising there. They may be a little over the skis, although Rex's boys have improbably turned things around over the last month. Cynthia, who do you think is the second best team behind the Patriots, of course?
That's a really...
I know. It's grim.
It is grim. I mean, I guess I like defense. I'm going to have to go Denver.
I mean,
very convincing.
The transcript of that.
Armin, how say you?
I think I'm still going to go with Pittsburgh. I think they can survive the Landry Jones show, and then when they get Ben back, they're still rolling.
All right.
I'm with Ike and MJD. I think Rex stood up there and tried to make America great again in the preseason. The other guy didn't work out so well for that, so his Buffalo Bills team has turned it around. As the performance on that end has gotten worse, they've fired the offensive coordinator and they've gotten better.
Everybody has to give their quick reaction to anything that happens in sports or, in fact, in anything in society. And I don't think we own that enough. I feel like when Anthony Lynn jumped in there, I thought, this is ridiculous. This is embarrassing for Rex. There's no dignity in this tact. And yet here we are, and it looks good. And this is without Sammy Watkins, of course. I don't go with the Bills. I hate to say Pittsburgh here because they are so flawed. And I do not think Landry Jones is a capable backup. I think even comparing him to the other 32 backups in the NFL, he is not a suitable replacement for Roethlisberger. I don't know.
Watch him come out and light it up. How would you feel about Landry Jones?
I don't know. I guess I have to go Pittsburgh, but that is not because I think the Steelers are a legitimate contender with the Patriots come January. And I think on some level they get off the hook a little bit because this now keeps the ball in the air. Like, well, if we're fully healthy, we can play with you, New England. And the loss that I suspect that they're going to take in Heinz Field this weekend allows them to at least fantasize. Yeah, but if we had Roethlisberger, things would have played out differently. All right, Harmon, next up, two things. We do it every week here on the Thursday show on DDFP. Two things you're going to watch on TV this weekend. Presumably, at least one's going to be a football game.
Yes, there will be football consumed, both probably college football and NFL football. However, I know I've talked about How I Met Your Mother, and you've spat in my face consistently when I've been on the show.
Well, it's weird.
Yeah, I'm sure you think it's weird. That's fine. I think a lot of things about you are weird, Dave, but we won't get into
it. I'm sure you think it's weird. No, I've made it quite clear that's what I think. You don't have to speculate about it. I think it's odd that in a world that includes DVDs and Netflix, where you can go and find Cheers or other good or The Simpsons, that you choose to instead watch How I Met Your Mother, a C-plus sitcom.
We don't need to rehash
this debate
from several shows. I think I'm going to finally start watching Westworld.
That's a good idea.
The new HBO show. I haven't seen it yet, but I've heard a lot of good things. I think this is finally the weekend I'm going to.
You're going to like it. You're going to like that. What football game are you going to watch?
All of them.
Oh, good. Claybon, how say you?
I'm going on a similar path. I've heard so many great things about Atlanta on FX, and I have yet to see a single episode, and it's been killing me, missing out on the conversation. So I'm going to get involved in that. And then football-wise is Alabama and Texas A&M. Mm. It's definitely going to be on the schedule.
Should be fun.
Freeland.
Got some baseball to watch.
Oh,
why?
Cubbies.
There we go.
Are they gonna do it? They got that was a big victory they got on Wednesday night. We'll see what happens. We're recording on Thursday, so we don't know who now has the edge as things turn back to Chicago. We'll see how Kershaw does back there. I don't want to jump in on it, but I am gonna jump in on it, but first let's start the show. Yes, hi and hello, and again, welcome to the DDFP, presented, as always, by McDonald's All-Day Breakfast. I advise you, once again, go get you some of that. You'll thank me for it. Claybon, what I was going to say, well, let me say first. Matt Harmon, you watch him on, or you read his work, NFL.com, doing all sorts of good fantasy talk in there. You listen to him on the NFL Fantasy Live podcast.
Oh,
Cynthia
yes.
Freeland, also on NFL Fantasy Live. You can watch her on Game Day Morning. She's all over the place, really, and emerging as a fan favorite very quickly here on the Dave Dameschek football program. And then, speaking of a fan favorite, a guy who I don't know why he hasn't shadowed our door. I don't know who he thinks he is that he doesn't have to come and knock on the door.
This is not the case.
I don't. Well, whatever. Let's get into it. It's Patrick Claibon. You watch him. I love the show
Applause.
But I'm embarrassed to say you have to remind me what it's called.
Up to the Minute.
Up to the Minute.
Friday at 4 o'clock Eastern time.
Right. It's good stuff. It's weird because I was legitimately, maybe this makes me a jerk, but I was almost unaware of it until you had started it. I was kind of like, well, Claibon's on the air for a lot. Oh, this is a full show.
Yeah, it's a whole thing.
Yeah, it's great. Claibon, basically orchestrating all the NFL reporters out there, checking in with them across Football America and beyond, doing gangbusters work as you would expect him to if you've listened to him on this show, save one issue, which is that he's the Omtakesman, along with around the NFL's Chris Wessling. They don't just give their takes. They wait till everybody else has given their takes. Then they weigh in on the veracity or otherwise of everybody else's takes. And it bothers me most of the time.
False.
Like it did.
Wrong.
You're a puppet. Now listen, Claibon, you said after Clayton Kershaw won the first round, the divisional round of the playoffs now?
Right.
Clayton Kershaw goes out there, takes you. Well, I guess all the takesmen are going to have to find someone else to call a choker.
Yes.
For the record, I don't call Peyton Manning, Clayton Kershaw, Tony Romo. They're not chokers. But I do think when there becomes a storyline that's perpetuated by fans and the media and otherwise, that this guy, for all of his great deeds, in the biggest moments, he has failed. When that happens once, if you're a player, I slough that off. When it happens a second time and then the media and people start talking about it, you're not a human being if it doesn't get into your head the third time you go out there and say, now I want to prove everybody wrong. For you to suggest that human element doesn't exist is a loco.
Dave, that was a thoughtful response from a thoughtful man who was not a takesman. You're not a takesman. That was an actually constructed thought. You don't have a Sunday column that's, well, I have to write something. So Clayton Kershaw is bad at pitching in this month because I've seen him pitching in this month. And it wasn't as
all
good.
All invalidated by the unnecessary use of the adverb actually. When you use actually, it suggests that you're surprised that the person said something worthwhile. Matt Harmon just said, actually, that wasn't too bad an idea. You know, do you understand? You see the difference there? Harmon has a good idea versus Harmon actually has a good idea. You see the difference?
Do you
there,
feel
Claibon?
That you are a takes man?
No, I'm not a takes man.
Exactly.
No, I'm insightful. That's what I am. Freeland, before we jump into everything here. Oh, speaking of shows, new show. I should have started this show with word of a new network show featuring the people that you're listening and looking at right now, plus all the fellows from around the NFL, plus the duo on Move the Sticks, Bucky and DJ. We're all putting our heads together. We all pick games. So we said, why don't we just make this into a network show and tell you who's going to win every game in a given week. You can watch it on Saturday, 8:30 Eastern, right? Now, MVP, you're shaking your head.
Yes.
I don't know.
Put it on DVR, and you can watch it whenever you want.
NFL podcast pick'em. You must tune in. I think it's 8:30 a.m. on the East Coast, and then it plays back on Saturday night, and then again on Sunday morning. So plenty of opportunities. The important thing is that you do track it down.
Nobody's talking about this
on the DVR. You got to find that. Cynthia, before we get into picking the games, and we do have to talk a little bit of dad jokes. This is something that the Czech Republic has responded to in full throat. We'll get to those in just a second. But you said something interesting before we got going here. You like the guys who these days are going for the two-point conversion early in game.
I do.
Explain yourself.
So typically, I don't know. I mean, I don't mean to. We all maybe know or don't know. Typically, coaches will script out about maybe 25 to 30 plays in the beginning of before their game starts. So a coach will know, like, that's part of what's on the card. Like, we're going to run or whatever. So if you change it and you change the possession now to an 8-point differential as opposed to 7, then now you've potentially messed up their flow, right? And then you maybe added now a possession that they weren't ultimately planning on having to have. So when you go early, that 1-point difference, and then even if you just kick after that, that throws off how many possessions the other team has to mm-hmm. make up later. And if you do it early in games in that kind of scripted time of the game, it's really interesting and your Steelers said it last week, it's interesting from a standpoint of are you going to change your script? Are you going to mess with me or not? You probably won't mess with Bill Belichick, but potentially another coach or a different system. It could be a very interesting, going for two is something that, like, is a really interesting case study for both of us. And I think if you look at, you know, you think like the, I'm going to make a basketball reference if you don't mind. If you think about how the Golden State Warriors.
I've watched basketball. Yeah.
Got it. Okay. Just got it. So, you know, you think about the point differential when they go for three or, you know, quick shots, like the Cavs actually embodied like going for two a lot. Right. But making it very quick. So if you think of that kind of philosophy of getting maximizing your point potential in each drive, it's a very fascinating kind of what is the response from the other team.
And coaches are creatures of habit too. And like they want to put off that, I put myself in a hole until the last minute. Like, so if you're down, I think the Browns were a really good example when they were down by 15 or they were down by 14 or something. Like, they were down two touchdowns. They went for the two-point conversion right away instead of their second one in order to just get that out of the way. Most coaches want to put it off till the last minute to put there because they don't want to be in that hole.
The only difference I would say there is I think you have to tell your team and have it in play before the last second because I feel like it looked like they were maybe not confused, but like they were like, okay, we're doing this. Like it wasn't, you know, like you have, like, whereas when the Steelers came out and did it early, it was like, what?
Yeah.
Right. So it's a different kind of mental angle of that.
I like that. And I do like the notion of in the 21st century with points on the rise. I think that it, you know, just straight up not getting into the deeper math like you guys do. It just seems to me that it makes sense, like you say, to try and get as many points as you can early in the game. I look at it the other side. I like the coaches who consider going for two at the end of the game. You know, I've said it before. You know, we had a couple of moments where it almost happened last year when the Packers forced the overtime with Jeff Janis in Arizona. You'll remember there was some consideration of going for two there. And then Mike Tomlin in Denver, as the Steelers were trying to tie that or get down 1 point, saying on the sidelines, he's mic'd up saying, I want to go for two if we score the touchdown here. In both cases, I think that is the better bet. Now, if your QB is not someone who you have ultimate faith in, then you don't go for two there. But what's more likely, that the best player on the field or the one who you think is the best player on the field is going to be able to make those 2 yards and win you the game in that moment, or that you're going to be able to go through all the hoops that get you to the victory, winning the coin toss, or first of all, make the 33-yard extra point to begin with, then win the coin toss. But if you don't win it, then you better not let them score a touchdown. But if they don't score a touchdown, but they do score three, then you now have to go and get three to keep the game. It's too much. Just try to make the 2 yards, Claybon.
The one thing, as having zero math knowledge or understanding that would compare to anybody here, including you, Dave.
No, that's impossible.
The one thing that gets me about a two-point conversion is when the other team goes for the two-point conversion early and doesn't get it. And then that messes up your chart, and then you get to a point later on in the game and you feel compelled to go for two, and then you also don't get it. It seems like at that point you've been given a point, right, Cynthia? Does that make sense?
So yes, it depends on how many drives you have in a game and how efficient you are with your drives, right? Like, so for example, Miami, they don't get a chance on offense to have a lot of drives.
Right.
They haven't taken a lot of plays, and they've been very inefficient when they have. Actually, Chicago has been inefficient with scoring points to begin with.
True.
So looking at like starting field position, looking at how many yards on average drives and how efficient they are at scoring points, so how many touchdowns per drive, that has a lot to do with it. Because if you have a lot of possessions and chances to make it up, like the Steelers, different case.
Right.
If you do not get a ton of possessions, like I think Miami in that Cincinnati game that was on Thursday night, you just saw they
ran well under like 50 plays.
Right.
If you're running that kind of offense, you just are, again, you're not going to be statistically likely to get more touchdowns, more because you're not running as many plays. So, and Miami, I think, came into that week six game with the Steelers having the lowest time of possession in
exactly.
the NFL.
One other thing, and maybe we can dig on this in an upcoming show, is I like more aggressive, again, given the era in which we live now. I feel like these coaches that punt the ball from the other team's 40-yard line make me crazy now. If you're fourth and two-ish at the other team's 40, go for it. We'll talk about that in depth later. We have much more important things to do, like game picks, and right now,
yeah, game picks.
Dad jokes. Let's get to them. We started telling them with Handsome Hank, who's off in London right now, Matt Money Smith, who is covering the Dodgers right now, and you know, I'm a father. Combined, we have double-digit kids here, so we started in with these jokes here, and you, the Czech Republic, has joined in on that. If you want to join the fun, hashtag D BDFP or hashtag dad jokes. I think both will work for us. Let's take a quick look at some of the better ones that we've accumulated here from you. Did you hear about the dead carrot? There was a big turnip at the funeral. That one comes from Ian Sheridan, 8. I like that one very much. That's next up. Look at that, MVP. You've really made a name for yourself. Now you're included on all these terrible hacky jokes here. I hope you're happy that this has gotten off the ground. Jack Rubio, 26, says, why did the toilet paper roll down the hill? To get to the bottom. I get it.
Oh.
Harmon didn't get that
one.
Like, right. Next
I wasn't
up,
paying attention.
Butts.
Jack Sawyer, why don't ants ever get sick? Because they don't have little antibodies.
That's spectacular.
That's pretty good.
I know when it's a good one when Cynthia likes it, because she says her father is a wizard of
He's
the
epic.
Dad jokes.
My dad's an epic dad.
All right, well, then where's your dad with the dad joke, Freeland?
My very first game that I ever brought my dad to, I thought it was like such a big, like, you know, I was like, oh my gosh, I get to bring you to a Lions game. It's such a big deal. We were going up in an elevator to go to a box, and there was a man who was pushing the buttons in the elevator, and it was like deadpan, all these people in suits, like very important, you know, whatever. My dad turns to him and goes, bet this job has its ups and downs.
Oof. Yikes.
Oh, my God.
And the kids like that one. All right, a couple more real quick. That's all we can take here. We're done? No, that's it for that. Oh. I'll throw one more out there. But, yes, Cynthia, the next time you come in here, I'd like your dad to provide a
I tried, but he's not been playing good golf lately, so he's been like, the course is beating me. I don't have any to tell you right now.
Oh, wow.
Too emotionally distraught yes. to come up with a dad joke. How about this one? What did the pig tell his confidant?
What did he say?
Don't squeal on me.
Nailed it.
The kids
love it.
Yes. I have to make,
for the kids.
I have to make a confession. I didn't write that one myself.
Wait, what?
No, I didn't. Even though she's not a dad, Emma VP came up with that one behind the glass.
That's why she's the VP.
I forgot to do one, and she came up, and that was better than I would have come up with anyway.
Always got your back, Shaq.
Now, what I did come up with was a baby, and I didn't know when I made him that dad. He was going to be magic. But when it comes to picking football games, he has no peer, and I don't care who you're talking about, Jimmy the Greek or otherwise. This baby is magic. Now 15-3 in 2016.
That's so impressive.
It's crazy picking games. And I know people want to talk about how I rig it, but how can I rig it in advance when they're hard games to pick? We never do Patriots hosting the Jags. They're always the toughest games. He picks them. I don't rig it. I'm as fascinated and confused as to how he does it, but he does. And he's now, I think, like 85-30, 87-33 lifetime. It's really weird. But anyhow, he has his picks for you. Look for him on NFL.com and Facebook this weekend. In the meantime, he's making his rounds. You can go to my Twitter account, at Damashek, pinned to the top there. There's a PDF you can print out of Football Baby. Take him to the stadium with you. In fact, this is really expanded beyond stadiums. Why don't you take him to see the sights? Take him to see the Eiffel Tower at
like
this point.
Flat he's, Stanley things? Just take pictures of
that's
where
exactly
can,
what
yeah,
he
exactly.
is now. Football Baby is a better version of Flat Stanley.
Correct.
He's been to Germany now. He's been to London a few times. And now he was hanging out with Blitz the Seahawk, the mascot of the Seahawks. He was at the Clink. Some fans had him out there. I can't read the player, the Czech Republic's Twitter handle there to give Oliver Hayes. Oh, Oliver Hayes had him out in what I forget what they call Rich Stadium now, whatever it's called these days in Buffalo. Yes,
Ralph Wilson.
Antonio Esquivel had him.
The Seahawks are really dialed in. Football baby.
So boy, he was at a lot of
must
stadiums
pick a
this
lot of,
weekend.
Must pick them a lot.
Look at his passport, getting the stamps there. Take him to your take him to your favorite stadium, or like I say, take him to see the sights. He's been to.
Why hasn't he been to
last
Houston,
name,
Foxborough?
Last name,
have to get this Ford Field remedy.
East Rutherford, Pittsburgh, PA, London, England, Germany, San Francisco, Miami and Charlotte, North Carolina. He's been to why do you have to get a visa to go to Buffalo? Seattle,
Canada?
San Diego, Arizona, and we look forward to his tour continuing. All right, all that just appetizers. It's time for the main course. It's time for Red Challenge Flag Picks for Week 7.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Oh, that was a little
so
bad.
Long.
I didn't think that was great. Yeah. Claybon wasn't ready, and frankly, I didn't do my best job. Only Freeland picked. You know what? You've grown a lot as a person, Cynthia, in the last 7 days. Last week you were reluctant to sing. This week
now
you
I'm like
led
all
the
over.
Charge.
Yeah,
I loved
right?
it. Do you want to do it a cappella?
No.
You sure?
Oh,
I'm
on.
Sure. I need help. I'm not a singer.
Harmon, you do it.
By myself?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right, right now?
Yeah, go ahead. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Red Challenge Flag Picks.
Oh, yes.
Red Challenge Flag Picks. All right, let's get to it. And we are going to an Italian restaurant today. Waiter, can we take a look at the menu for week
Molto
7?
Molto bene.
There are a lot of tasty treats. Here's MVP making her way into Studio 66.
This looks good.
Oh, is the name of the restaurant a thin slice of heaven? I like that very much.
A thin slice of heaven.
We're going to talk very quickly before we dive into to the entrees here. Mm. Waiter, can you tell us a little something about the Raiders and Jags?
Absolutely. Start your meal off right with our hot street calamari Cooper with a flake Bortles crunch. Oh. Order a la Derek Cart or mixed with our Khalil macaroni and crabtree. We recommend getting this to go as Raiders work best on the road.
Oh, this menu is spectacular.
I mean, she's not just an efficient waiter. She's the most clever waiter out there.
No, it's really good.
Thank
I mean, her
you
dad she, jokes, her dad jokes really aren't good. Very
The way she wrote her name upside down in crayon on the table was just immaculate.
Claybon, I'd like you to start us off. Raiders, Jags.
I'm going to go with the Oakland Raiders.
Cynthia?
I'm going to concur.
Arnie? I'm going with the Jags.
I have a hunch about the Jags, too. The Raiders have been really bad defensively, and if you're an optimist, you'll say that those pieces that were brought together via free agency and the draft will gel as the season goes along, but there's no evidence of that. In fact, they're on track to be the worst defensive football team of the Super Bowl era in terms of yards allowed. That's quite poor. And Blake Bortles, as I predicted, the last time they pulled one out in Chicago. But before that, I said Blake Bortles would get it going against a crummy defense over there in London. So he did, and now they're hosting another bum defense. I think a shootout awaits us here. I'm going to go with the Jags too, Harmon.
Beautiful.
Next up, a little appetizer here. Tell us about D.C. versus Detroit, would you, waiter?
Absolutely. We have our Redskins versus Lions chicken parm sliders. This medium Caldwell-cooked chicken parma Deshaun will surely satisfy your taste buds. Go three deep into our Lions running back sliders. Our Zenner has been a surprise hit.
Mm. Mm. That's very strong writing, isn't
it,
Cynthia?
Really
it's really good.
I can't get over it.
It's and appetizing.
Better than anything I've ever written on the website before.
For sure.
Yeah.
This needs
you
to go on
really emphatically.
Yes.
Oh. Freeland.
No. And me, not
Cynthia.
You.
Cynthia, this all goes on the website.
Oh, good.
We don't just do this.
Thank goodness.
Like, I mean, as far as I know, it would be an awfully cruel joke that's going on year six now of Roger Goodell and the whole gang to be like, yeah, Dave, no, we gave you a podcast, and I never checked to see that it's actually
like
on
the
anywhere.
Writing. I want her writing to go on the podcast.
No, we do. I try to tweet that out regularly.
Okay, good.
Yes. I'll thank you to do the same. Let's
I will.
Promote that.
I will.
Yeah, I love
I
it.
Will.
All right, let's get your pick for this one. Your beloved Lions hosting the Skins.
Washington.
Oh, you say it as though everybody is loco if they think otherwise.
Do you know that Matthew Stafford's on track to have, like, the worst passer rating? Well, okay, when he goes good or bad. He's in a good spot, and then he goes real bad. And then he gets a good spot, and then he goes real bad. And the Lions defense, the passer rating against, is, like, on track if they keep up where they're at to be, like, the worst one in NFL history.
It's funny, though,
Sounds
because
bad.
Stafford, from a fantasy perspective at minimum, has been pretty good. But it's hard to have any faith of him in him in fantasy or in real terms when he lays out those stinkers like he did in Chicago a couple of weeks ago. You know, how can you really believe that this guy – and I said before the season, maybe it'll be the Patrick Ewing effect here. You know, maybe the Simmons-Ewing theory that they would be a better team without Calvin Johnson or at least a better offense. And for the most part, they have been a good – they have been a good offense. They have more weeks than not, but when they're bad, they're real bad.
Yes, that sidearm, I don't know what that is.
I'm taking the Lions this week, Harmon.
Okay. I'm taking Washington. I think that's who I picked. I'm pretty sure that is.
Say what you feel.
This is a close enough game to me. I really like the individual matchups in this one for sure.
Okay.
Medium Caldwell cooked chicken sounds unsanitary
and Agreed.
Might be unsafe to eat, but I'm going to go with it.
You're going to slay
Ooh,
it?
Ooh, Lions
too. Are you going to slay it?
Yeah, Darius definitely going to slay it. It's going to satisfy my Tate buds.
Claybon and I are going to get the scorn of Freeland. How dare we pick her Lions in this game, right?
You're a Lions fan. You're used to it.
Yeah.
I've said it before. I'll say it again. Only a fan of a team can be so disgusted by their team's performance. You know, you want to really hear what's ugly about a team? Talk to a real fan of that team. Get me going on the Steelers in 2016 right now, and 3 hours later,
you have so much hope there. There's so many good things.
No, there's
get
no,
back,
there's
get back
no
to
hope.
Me after Landry Jones' third game. All right, let's get to the entrees here. Let's talk Giants and Rams. And a little programming note before you jump in here, Waiter. Jim Everett and I, we like to do Time Machine Football. Jim Everett joined to review the 1989 Divisional Round Classic, an overtime game in against the Giants. We look back at that one. Great fun. Look for that one on NFL.com and YouTube. All right, I'm sorry, Waiter. Go ahead.
No problem. Definitely check that out. So our first special is the Giants versus Rams Manicotti, a romantic special for sideline canoodlers Odell and Annette. The lack of consistency in our Eli Manicotti is complemented by a Cruz Shepherd end zone filling. Spruce up your Italian dining experience with a hint of Kenny Britt culture with the flavor of Twickenham.
Excellent, excellent. Okay. Well, the only thing we lack now, we need the red challenge flags. Bartlett, can you make that happen for us here? Where we got the
I can slide over.
So we can make Studio 66 run red with rage and conflict. A reminder to everybody, as we come together, this group, this quartet has not been together. This trio has not done the red challenge flag picks together. The basis of every good drama, of every good story ever told is conflict. Let's keep that in mind as we make our picks.
Got it.
I don't like too much.
No problem.
All right. Harmon, remember how the red challenge flag goes now. Simply state who you think is going to win. Giants, Rams, choose.
Giants.
All right. Claybon?
Giants.
You don't want to
Rams.
Throw the flag, sister. There you go.
Are you supposed to throw it at me?
No, okay, you throw it at him for his lousy pick. Why do you say so?
Lousy. Really?
This one's about karma. I'm really mad at the Giants right now, and I think that they're going to lose on kicking. Somehow. I think their kicker is going to cause them to lose.
Why are you cross with them?
Send him home. Kick him out of the league.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah. I wasn't picking up on the current events.
Correct.
I used to like the Giants.
Yes. I used to. One of my closest friends played for the Giants. Yeah. Now I'm mad at them.
Not just current events. It was a consistent event that happened.
Yep. I'm with you. I didn't know what you were referring to. I was trying. Mm-hmm. I was thinking of football.
Karma.
Yeah.
No.
I can't argue with that. That's.
Well, try to focus on football terms over there in the UK. I'm with you. I think Odell Beckham practically should have a good game against and that Giants passing attack. I know that they have some troubles on the offensive line, and this is not the defensive line you want to go against given that, but I do think that Eli and company found a little something last week, and they'll keep it going.
The Rams lost their best cornerback, Trumaine Johnson, and it showed last week. Golden Tate finally got off the schneid. Marvin Jones caught a red zone touchdown, and I think without him, their secondary really can't hold up to Odell Beckham. And I think this might be a game where Sterling Shepard gets back going, too.
All right. I'm with Claybon and Harmon. I'm going to go with the Giants. Waiter, what's next? Saints and Chiefs. Tell us a little something about that one.
Absolutely. So we have our Saints versus Chiefs pizza, an Arrowhead crowd pleaser and favorite of our cooks. Choose between our Three Breeze and Reed Lovers pizzas. Topped with Jamalib's Charles and complete with a stuffed Ingram crust, wear down the Saints defense with this dish. It's enough to feed two.
So many of the puns built into these scripts require you to read them, not just hear them, because, as a for instance, where, W-A-R-E, in case you're
perfect.
Not picking that up, if you're not hearing the message there. All right, let's go to Claybon here. Saints, Chiefs, choose.
Chiefs.
All right. Anybody want to throw a red challenge flag there? Harmon is going to eat it. Freeland eats it. I like conflict. What did I say? I can't disagree. I think.
I wanted it.
I don't want to start the conversation, but I'm going to because it's the one point that I discovered in the offseason. So I have to repeat it over and over again. Save perhaps Ben Roethlisberger. The home road splits are atrocious for future Hall of Famer Drew Brees. And, you send him into Arrowhead. I don't think that's going to turn itself around. Harmon, how say you?
I think Spencer Ware is a difference maker at running back. Jamal Charles should only be getting healthier. And the Saints give up the most rushing touchdowns in the NFL. So I think that this is a situation where we'll see those two guys carry the load again. I think the Saints offense could surprise a little bit, though. You know, not put up their home numbers. But I think in terms of some of the individual matchups, Brandon Cooks shouldn't see very much of Marcus Peters in this game. And I think Willie Snead in the slot also has a good matchup, too.
I agree with that. I actually have Drew Brees. Everyone's saying to sit him in fantasy purposes. For me, he's not necessarily a sit. So,
well, listen, here's my specific conundrum. Drew Brees or Matt Stafford going against the Skins at home?
I have Drew Brees.
Really?
I do. Yep.
Harmon,
right here.
Way in here. I need to figure this one out.
I'm not going to help you because I think I would play Stafford over Brees.
Yep. I'm going Stafford for now, but Freeland, you'll have an opportunity.
I think Cynthia's Lions feelings might be playing in.
No. This is just math.
Just straight up
math.
There's no feelings there.
There's no feelings in spreadsheets.
So everybody is going Kansas City at home. Yeah, I think when it's all said and done, I said this in the preseason, and so I pat myself on the back for that. I think the Chiefs end up stealing this division. I think the Broncos, but you know, we saw what the Broncos are capable of being, which is a very tepid NFL offense against the Chargers. All right, let's move on to the next one. Waiter, tell us about Indianapolis and Tennessee, would you?
Sure thing, Sheck. So next up, we have the Colts versus Titans lasagna. There's nothing tricky about this 2-4 likely Fregano pasta delight served al dente Moncrief with the cream Colts defense. Our loaded Derek and DeMarscapone cheeses can cause this Titans favorite to be a bit runny.
DeMarscapone. I like the al dente Moncrief. I like the emphasis on the
Moncrief.
Second syllable.
I wish
he
was actually playing.
Cynthia, Colts, Titans. Choose.
Titans.
Anyone going to throw the flag here? Andrew Luck and company, they need it after a sad ending to the game in Houston.
Exactly. That's why nobody's talking about it.
That sad ending is still sticking.
We all saw it.
Everybody, yeah, imagine
I'm on,
that.
I'm on Tennessee, too.
No, Matt, I did not think the Colts. I kept saying it, that the Colts, everybody just sort of looked at 2015 in the AFC South. Oh, give Andrew Luck a mulligan. He's just going to bounce back, and they're gonna rule that division once again. And in the meantime, the division got better while the Colts were scuttling in 2015. But we're in week 7, and we're going 4-for-4 picking
That's
the
incredible.
Titans against this team?
I think maybe the better question is how many times is Andrew Luck going to get sacked? He's already been sacked 23 times this season, and the Titans' defense has sacked opposing quarterbacks 6 times in each of the past 2 games.
Well, you know, the thing that that strikes me is it feels like DeMarco Murray should have a heyday. You saw
yes.
Lamar Miller and what the Texans did to him. Right, Harmon, any reason not to expect a big day from Murray?
I can't think of a good reason. I mean, the Colts' run defense is a sieve. DeMarco Murray's playing like over 90% of the Titans' snaps, which you just don't see that very often from running backs, and especially an older one like him, but he's played great this year. And, I mean, as far as the Colts, they don't have any good players on offense. I mean, they don't have any good players other than Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton. That supporting cast has been wiped out with injuries. Moncrief's been gone for weeks. Dorsett was a flop. He caught 8 passes in the 4 weeks that Moncrief missed, and now he's hurt too. Dwayne Allen also injured.
Yeah, right. Claybon, your thoughts?
Colts aren't very good.
I agree. I agree with all that, but we have talked very little outside of that DeMarco Murray has been very effective. I guess, Cynthia, you touch on that. You believe in Dick LeBeau's defense there.
I do. I mean, maybe not in every game, but in this game.
Well, I mean, if they win this one, then it starts to become really, you know, in this crummy division.
Right.
In this bum, you know, would they compete with the Patriots? No. But in this division, you know, they win this game, they have a real shot of taking it.
I can't argue with that.
And in hindsight, too, if you watched that Texans-Titans game, which I thought the Texans would whip them pretty good, if you watched that game, the Titans were right there. There were a couple of things that went against them there. And had it gone the Titans' way, we'd really be singing songs. Maybe I swung and missed on the whole exotic Smash Mouth thing early in the season. I laughed at it.
At some point on their offense, Tajay Sharpe will get going.
I think?
I do. Mm. I don't want to overweight preseason, but if you watched him and what they could get going on in preseason, it seems like it's possible. They just need to establish, now that they have their running game set and Marcus Mariota himself is actually really aiding that, then they just need to figure out how to pass a little bit more and we'll really see something great because their defense is good enough to keep them competitive.
Unbelievable. We're all going Titans. I can't.
It's amazing.
That means the Colts.
What a time.
Win, right? Oh, there you go. See, that's to me. I made my jokes. Mike Mularkey, has been a terrible head coach by the numbers, and exotic Smash Mouth. That's what it sounds like. You know, remember the band?
Yes.
I was wondering if he was alive in 1989 earlier.
It was not alive. No, in
not alive. Not
more. When you said that about your interview,
disgusting.
Yep, I know.
No. What I was thinking, wouldn't exotic Smash Mouth be kind of like more guttural?
Like there's exotic. more big.
Well,
drums.
No, that was
that's the question. Nobody really knows what it means.
So don't be like.
Well, but he was but it's Smash Mouth playing one of their hits at a luau. That's about as exotic as you can get in politically correct society.
And I like. I mean, I don't like Smash Mouth, but I remember Smash Mouth. Give me a break, all right?
Matt Harvin, I remember Smash Mouth.
It ain't cool to brag on Smash. It's not like anybody saying we liked Smash Mouth.
No,
I understand.
I got it.
Like
I got
it was the Berlin Wall coming down.
Who is your favorite band, Harmon?
I'm gonna get made fun of. I feel like if I say Dave Matthews Band, but I'm probably Dave.
Wait a
Matthews
minute.
Band.
Are you secretly my age? Because that's like in my age.
No, Franchise and I just went to see Dave Matthews down in Irvine a while ago, and it was a time.
Do you know Matt Franchise, Cynthia, and Claybon? Let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
How many times do you think it's reasonable to see your favorite band in your lifetime?
Four.
Oh, wow. Matt Franchise has seen Dave Matthews Band play 36 shows.
I've got
36 shows to see that band. Dave
pretty
Matthews?
Outrageous. That's pretty outrageous.
There's a
satellite.
Oh, why?
Matt,
why
is, you go see
why,
that 36
Why is satellite
times?
Always your go-to?
Because
it's their worst
so well.
Song.
Our, I know, but that's why it's not fair.
Our in-house messaging client one time. Franchise.
Oh, this
was,
is a great story.
Was discussing his love for Dave Matthews. I know nothing about music. People talk about it. So I Googled Dave Matthews sucks, and I found a whole blog, and I just started copying and pasting into the messaging client. And Franchise thought I was saying these things, and he got visibly upset
because he was working from home that day, so he wasn't in on the joke. Like the rest of us are sitting there while Claybon is doing this, and Franchise is just firing back heaters back on our instant message. And the whole time he's writing things like, "Yeah, but is Dave Matthews Band really fish good?"
And so Franchise is losing. I have to eventually come out to it. I got to post it one day.
If we could have Claybon and Franchise get into a fist fight in the NFL newsroom defending the honor of the satellite singers, I would love it. All right, let's move on to San Diego and Atlanta, waiter.
So for San Diego and Atlanta, we have our Chargers versus Falcons spaghetti and meatballs, the Dan quintessential dish, spin our Melvin Gorgonzola top noodles, and fill up on our meaty backfield. Antonio glazed and Desmond Dufont oil. This matchup has a surprisingly airy texture due to our Julio Cacciatore finish.
Do you get that one, Harmon?
No, I don't get that last one.
You don't get that. Okay. No. Either way, Chargers, Falcons, choose.
I kind of wanted to throw the flag on this because I was thinking about changing my pick, but I'm going to go with Falcons.
All right. Anybody want to throw a flag here? Come on, somebody do it. Come on, have some honor. Have some sense of drama.
Oh, there it is.
You did it. I'm throwing it too. I'm going to go. Well, explain, Claybon. Go ahead.
Originally, I came in thinking that I would take the Falcons in this. Mm-hmm. But the more I think about it and see what that team went through in getting that last win, I just feel like the Chargers are going to do similar to what the Chiefs did last year and rise from the ashes of the, oh, well, you suck. This team is losing all these games close. I just see them winning. And you know feelings-based picking, Dave.
That's right? Exactly right.
It just feels
I'm
right.
I'm surrounded feelings. By people who don't like feelings being a part of or the human element being a part of things.
That's ridiculous. That is baseless. A thing to throw at me. I want to do a feelings podcast. I've talked about that ever since we've got here, and you won't let me.
Anti-feelings, Matt Harmon is anti-feelings.
Slander. Cynthia, make some sense of this one. Why are you sticking with the Falcons here?
Their offense is just absolutely dominating still, and I don't see that changing. I know Joey Bosa does change the pressure on Matt Ryan.
I'm stunned by what he's done.
He's been great. I mean, like I kind of thought with all his like holdout and everything that he'd be not be able to like go right when he started, but he's gone. And the sacks, the pressures, the hits, like he changes things.
Maybe it's they should have paid him right off the bat.
Well, it's interesting though.
I'm not going to opine on that. I mean, I just, you would imagine him not playing those games, you know, that you wouldn't imagine him to have this amazing, like he's blown away my expectations of him, which were very high.
The Leinart conundrum, you know, this is the latest example of that, which is that when you're on a loaded college team, it's hard to distinguish. Is Leinart the great piece that's making these other guys go or vice versa? And Bosa seemed like, well, maybe he could be hidden. Any weaknesses could be hidden by that dominant Ohio State defense. But so far, he has been gangbusters. Harmon, explain yourself real quick on the on your pick here.
I mean, I think Cynthia laid out the case really well for the Falcons, but I could actually make a counter argument for the Chargers that is based on not just feelings. I think offensively, they actually match up really well against the Falcons defense. The Falcons allow the second most yards per game to the tight end. They have Hunter Henry emerging there in San Diego. I think their receivers move around enough, and Tyrell Williams plays strictly pretty much on the left side, where Desmond Trufant lines up on the defensive left side. They shouldn't see each other very much. Also, Melvin Gordon's been improving as a pass catcher out of the backfield. Atlanta gives it up to pass catching running backs too. I think they could put up a lot of points on the Falcons.
One more point, and maybe you believe in this, and I don't know what the numbers bear out on this, but I talked to a lot of guys about the things that you always hear in broadcasts and if those are myth or reality. And a lot of players say that cross-country trip is for real. They just were out. The Falcons were out on the West Coast for a full week. You know, they played in Denver, then they played Seattle. They got beaten up. You know the statistics in all likelihood. I don't know how much of those are still true in 2016, but teams playing this or the week after you play the Seahawks tend to be physically beaten up and underperform the following week. Chargers feeling good about themselves. Yeah, I'm gonna roll with Phil Rivers here. A little bit of righting of the ship here. They lost a couple of games they shouldn't have lost. I think they bounce back here and get one that a lot of people expect them to lose. All right, let's get to it. New England, Pittsburgh in Heinz. Waiter.
Our last special is the Patriots versus Steelers chicken marsala. Nothing beats our six-ring season Bella chicken accompanied by a pot-stirring Martellus marsala. Try it with the side of our broccoli Rob Gronkowski and freshly roasted Steeler defense. Please tell your server if our Landry Jones leaves you feeling incomplete, though we may not substitute it until April 2017.
Some of those comments hurt my feelings, Waiter, but either way, Freeland, Patriots, Steelers, a choose.
This is a really tough one. The Patriots.
Is anybody going to – I'll tell you this. Ike Taylor, Steeler, yes, but he said – and he's not a guy who just says, oh, the Steelers are going to win. You know, he'll pick against the Steelers when he thinks it's going to happen. He said, that's how they do, Sheck. They lose to the Dolphins. They're going to beat the Patriots. I disagree with that. Even if it's a one-point game, Tom Brady's going to win this one, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's the Patriots.
I didn't even ask. Do you want to throw the flag? Go ahead, Cleveland, if you want to throw it.
I can't throw the flag here. I want to, Dave. I want to.
I didn't, believe me.
I was
I
picking this
to.
Game. You know, Ryan says it's the email. I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll pick the – oh, Landry Jones.
Yeah.
No, I can't.
This notion that the Steelers are trying to pass off that he's ready to go and, you know, we have confidence, don't panic and all that stuff. Belichick, I know this is, a rudimentary kind of thought to throw out there, but everybody says it, and it more often than not does prove to be true. Belichick likes to take away what the other team's offense does best. In this case, they're going to try and take away Lev Bell because it's Landry Jones throwing to Antonio Brown. So if they can quiet the running game at least a little bit, I mean, how effective can the Steelers offense be, Cynthia?
Actually, looking back at Landry Jones, now he doesn't have a huge sample size from last year. He was a little more efficient on deep throws than he was on intermediate or short throws, which could mean that Antonio Brown still is. I mean, if I'm still starting him if he's my fantasy player.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm not worried about him as much. Mm-hmm. I do think if I had to say, like, the Belichickian, who are you going to take away, I think you take away Lev Bell. I think that you're focusing on just shutting Lev Bell down.
Yeah, typically in the secondary, what they do in New England is they'll put Malcolm – or it's Malcolm Brown, right? Or no, – Malcolm Butler. That's it. The Brown's their defensive
Malcolm
tackle.
Brown, right.
I get you.
It's a lot of Malcolm's
Texas
on there.
Kid, right.
But anyways, yeah, they typically put Butler on their number two receiver, and then they play hard doubles with Logan Ryan and Devin McCourty on the number one. So it'll be interesting to see how they defend Brown, and I don't think you're really worrying much about the ancillary receivers in Pittsburgh right
you're
now.
You're staying away from them completely.
Nah,
like,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you're playing them at fantasy.
Well, I wouldn't be surprised to see if they try to catch Sammy Coates with a deep ball, because the one thing that they do like is attacking when they see Sammy Coates singled
is
up.
Is his hand
there.
Better?
He's playing with a fractured finger. That was confirmed.
Yeah.
X-rays confirming that, but he's going to keep playing through it.
I mean, listen. Just saying. What can I say?
I mean,
the thing that we've talked about, and we'll go further in depth with this, Cynthia, on the NFL Pick'em show, the podcast Pick'em show. That's what it's called. Coming up
this
weekend.
Podcast Pick'em show.
We dig in on this, and we've talked about it all season long. There's just not a team out there that's going to be able to figure out stopping those two tight end sets, especially when the Steelers ain't going to do it when they're banged up on defense the way they are. I think that Brady goes in there and wins, much to my chagrin. There you have that one. And let's round it out with a little bit of dessert, shall we, waiter?
We shall. So for dessert, we have Seahawks versus Cardinals gelato. A sweet treat best devoured with a legion of spoons. Try our Sherman Swirled Custard Palmer, complete with a Jimmy Graham cracker topping and a handful of Fitzcells. Pick six of our secondary flavors, including our honey-infused Tyron Tiramisu.
All right, we won't go red challenge here. What do we think, though, Claybon?
I'm going to go with the Seattle Seahawks.
I'm going to go Seahawks, too. The Cardinals have been a little bit better of late, though.
Well, Carson Palmer, I don't know what's going on. He showed up on the injury reports. So.
Oh, is that right?
He has a hamstring, but I think he's still on track to play.
I think he is, but sometimes that scares me when he's a little bit injured because they haven't looked as – I mean, they're starting to look better than, you know, when they had to have Drew Stanton come in, right? But, like, apart from that, I don't know. For me, Seattle just has the more dominant defense, even though they both have good defenses, but this one's more dominant.
Harmon?
I'm going Seattle too. I'm interested to see how they match up though with the Cardinals defense. You know, Doug Baldwin pretty much strictly a slot receiver. Tyrann Mathieu's moved back into the slot defending the nickel corner there position. He's played 88% of his snaps in the slot the last 2 weeks, but Baldwin I think could spin
better
him a
second
few
week.
Times. Yeah, he was that, much better in the second week.
Yeah, that first week it was like
Jeremy Curley kept whipping him on those outbreaking routes, which is what Baldwin runs too. So I would be curious to see if he matches up.
And it's going to be a process for Mathieu.
Yeah.
Are we even at a year yet?
No, he tore that like in that Eagles game that David Johnson broke
out.
Yeah,
which is insane that he's trying to play slot cornerback in the National Football League less than a year of having his cruciate repaired.
It's interesting. A lot of people are wringing their hands. What's going on with Michael Floyd, John Brown, and maybe this team has Bruce Arians, obviously a sharp guy, but it does feel like that the Patriots sort of laid out the way if you have the pieces to do so. Take away what they want to do. Arians has shown at every stop that he likes the deep ball, and if you take that away, it forces. But David Johnson happens to be perhaps the best runner in the game, and maybe that's the transition they're making.
Now. They don't have the deep pass game anymore because they don't have the protection and they don't have the quarterback to do it anymore. I think Carson Palmer's taken a visible step back, and that's why you're seeing John Brown being used on more comeback routes instead of just the go routes. It's why Michael Floyd's not out there anymore. And I think this is David Johnson's team now, which is fine because he's incredible.
And Larry Fitzgerald. I mean, you can't.
No, yeah. I mean,
they've extended Fitzgerald's career by putting him in the slot more often, and he's just been great.
And that fits with more of what Carson Palmer can do now. He's not that deep passer anymore.
I'm looking forward to, in 2017, Tony Romo under center for the Cardinals.
That would be such a terrible fit.
Yeah, maybe it'll be
for all 30
like
snaps.
Patrick? Cap? I don't know. We'll see what happens. But I suspect you're right that Carson Palmer took that steep decline during the offseason, or maybe he is still feeling what happened at the end of last season.
He didn't go full Jake DeLome, but he went partial Jake DeLome.
No, you can't call Carson Palmer Jake DeLome.
Well, I mean,
I just did.
Not full Jake DeLome. You never go full
DeLome.
Here are the rest of Damashek's picks here. Let's run through them very quickly.
Are these yours or the babies?
No, these are the elders. Yeah,
okay.
Football babies are available online for you, NFL.com and Facebook.
Did you with the Dolphins?
Wait a second. I didn't take the Vikes, did I? I took the Eagles. I want the Eagles. I want the Broncos over the Texans. Dolphins in an upset.
Ooh.
All right, the Bills are fine. Let's not get crazy with ourselves.
I'm with
Bengals
you,
have to win this one. I'll take the Bucks against the Niners. Wouldn't be stunned if Cap has a big day, though. Wait a second. These picks are all backwards. I made these yesterday, and now I'm changing them. I'm going to take the Jets at home. I believe in Geno. I believe in
Darren
Dan
Lee's gone, the inside linebacker.
Well, yeah, I like, but I like what I do like is the I'm buying the narrative that I've created that Chan Gailey at every stop. Reminder: Neil O'Donnell went to a Super Bowl with Chan Gailey. Cordell Stewart went 13-3 and got to title games with Chan Gailey. He made Ryan Fitzpatrick look good in Buffalo. He made him look even better with the Jets. Why can't he do it for Geno Smith?
Hackenberg.
Nobody needs that in their life. Nobody needs that.
I want Hackenberg.
That's the first time anybody's ever said that.
Just because I want every other drafted quarterback to start before Jared Goff, just for the historical consequences.
That would be hilarious.
Here are three things I don't like about Matt Harmon.
Three.
Okay.
He's watching How I Met Your Mother for a second time around.
Actually, this is like the third or fourth.
He doesn't drink beer.
Just for October.
The month of October.
It's almost over.
And God, Dave Matthews is his favorite band, and yet I enjoy him nevertheless. Oh. Listen to him on NFL Fantasy Live. Cynthia Freeland, watch her on NFL Fantasy Live and Game Day Morning, and Patrick Claibon. Up to the minute. Watch him, Monday through Friday?
Yeah, Friday. Friday at 4.
Friday
Sunday on Game Day Live.
Some other guy does it Monday to Thursday.
So popular. And so, you can see me everywhere. And, hey, make sure you check out the NFL Podcast Pick'em Show, debuting thrice this weekend. We appreciate you DVRing and watching that and tweeting and all that kind of stuff about it. Right now, for the video consumer here, we have a little special treat for you. It's the aforementioned Time Machine Football, looking at the Giants and the Rams playoff game in 1989. Joining us for that, LA Rams QB Jim Everett. For the audio listeners, we'll talk to you next week, help you break down what's going to happen in Week 8 and what did happen in Week 7. In the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.